satanic influence, any demonic influence, I come against that right now and I say you must leave. Deception no longer is part of our lives. And we have an ability to absolutely believe that it is done, because this is a house of miracles. Amen. You are a miracle-working God. Amen. You have defeated death, hell, and the grave. You have proclaimed the victory has been won. And we come in agreement with you, Amen. God. Yes. We come in agreement with what you have done. And we dismiss anything that is negative or of ill report regarding God in our lives. And we proclaim now in Jesus' name that we are healed, that we are well, that it is done. Amen. Give the Lord an applause. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say hello to someone. High five them before you are seated. Oh, I am excited about this series because I proclaim to you that I am free, and I'm showing you what God did in my life so that I can be free from anything the enemy wants to do in or even through my life. In this series, we're finding out that there are different doors that sometimes we leave open to the enemy. And when these doors are open, things happen. We begin to pray. We wonder why things are happening. How come God is not doing something? It's because we have left the door open. But I am showing you how to close them in this series and what it means to be truly free. So my goal today is to explain to you the tactics of the enemy, to literally show you how he works, and by turning around, doing a 180, when we run to God, we will always find protection. Now, last week I laid the foundation. I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages and conversations about last week's message. People from all over the country watching. Pastor in Africa, I had a conversation with him. And I want you to recognize is the topic that I'm teaching on is a topic that many pastors do not teach on. And it is a message that a lot of believers have confusion and or deception about. And when I laid the foundation, I want you to go back again. You can go online and listen to the message again, because what I said last week is basically what we need to understand and what we need to really not only experience, but we need to really make a decision that we're no longer going to allow the doors to be open in our lives, and that there are enemies out there and many believers are in bondage. We're not talking about some huge, mighty sin in their life, but they're in bondage to areas or things they can't break open. There's secrets in our lives that we hold back, and we minister, we love God, and God uses us in a mighty way, and we're important. Everybody is important in the body of Christ. But you and I must understand that there is an enemy, a spiritual force that is out there that has been defeated. But if we open the doors, we give them new life. And we have to recognize these things. And if we don't recognize those, we will continue to go up and down, up and down, up and down in our walk with God. We'll continue to face situations. Anger rises up. Emotional things rise up in our lives because we haven't received the totality of the freedom what communion represents. And so again, my goal is to explain the tactics, but we're going to do that all through this series. Believers can be in bondage, but you don't need to be afraid of this. See, this isn't something like, I have no control. You can get control immediately by responding to admitting a bondage in your life and turning your life back around, do a 180 into the reality of what God's word says. We're going to show you again about what you do after being born again. Because sometimes right after you're born again is the most dangerous time of your spiritual walk. Or many years of serving the Lord, because we then have a tendency to think that we, you know, that we know it all. That's a dangerous thing, because we're not watching out. We're not looking and seeing in our lives. And this is an easy thing to be free, because Jesus already won the victory, so you can be free. But we have to understand spiritual truth. We need to know how to get out of bondage, and we will show you. Each week, we'll learn more and more how to get free and, very important, how to stay free as believers. Now, this week's message has a strange title, but I'll explain that too. Watch out for the Chaldeans. Watch out for the Chaldeans. Don't turn to your neighbor and say, "Are you a Chaldean?" Watch out for the Chaldeans. In Acts 13, Paul is in Antioch, Pisidia, not Antioch, Syria. Why I say that? Because Antioch, Syria was where the great church of the New Testament was, and literally that church was the greatest missionary church. That is the church that Paul and Barnabas was sent out of. That's where they came in. Yes, they were leaders, but they were sent out. They were trained and developed by the Holy Spirit and leadership to go out and minister the gospel as missionaries. So Paul was in Antioch, Pisidia, and Paul preached a message at the church, and he ends with a caution. And we're going to look at that caution, but before we get there, let's read some more scripture, and I want to explain some more things. Acts 13, verse 40 says, "Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you." So the question we should have when we read that, what did the prophets say? I'll read it again. "Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you." And again, we need to say to ourselves, what did the prophets say? This quote is found in Habakkuk, where we will go in a little bit, but I still want to explain some things. He says, "Watch out that it will come on you." So we're talking about freedom. We're talking about bondage, being free, and what comes upon you. Paul's talking about this. And verse 41 says, "Behold," listen to what he says, "you despisers." All right, he's explaining what to watch out for, but now he's talking about how we can get in our attitudes. All right, he's talking about how we can grow up in the Lord, do great things. Like, I mean, bottom line, this week and last week was just amazing watching this congregation touch lives. I am so proud of what you do. I get emotional all the time. People will ask me from around the country, "How's the church doing?" Sometimes I can't talk because I get teary-eyed, because of seeing what God is doing through you, from the youngest to the oldest. And it's amazing. We enjoyed many of our congregation being with South El Monte and El Monte. and in the National Day of Prayer, and being able to assist the leadership that belonged to our church. And they did a fabulous job in allowing the culture of God to be prevalent in our city and cities. But he's now saying here in verse 41, we need to have an attitude check. How many of you read the word and a lot of times you find you got to stop for a moment and check your attitude? Yeah. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So he's referring earlier in this book of Acts that Jesus became a man. He died on the cross for our sins. That's salvation. He's talked about that the Messiah has come because he's talking to the Hebrews. He's talking to those who are Old Testament mentality. And he brings out messianic prophecies from the Old Testament. Then he gives them a reason, and he says they won't believe the gospel. Even though it's proclaimed to you and you saw it, you really won't believe it. And he's saying because there is an enemy. And that enemy is trying to blind you from the truth. Even though you know it, we can become blinded of truth. So he quotes a scripture in Habakkuk. So let's go back to the book of Habakkuk, or some people say Habakkuk, or some people don't know how to say it. And maybe you don't know where it is. In my Bible, it's page 1222. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5 says this: look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. Now, before we read verse 6, he's talking about the Chaldeans. And I'll explain that to you in a little bit. Who were the Chaldeans? The Chaldeans, they are an Old Testament type of demons. You can say it this way: the enemies that come against the people of God. Once you became born again, there is an enemy there that comes against you, has no power or authority over you unless you open the door. All right, so don't walk in fear. There's confusion in this world, deception in this world. And they're talking about the Gen Zs. They're talking about all the different groups of people and generations. And there's confusion out there because there's an enemy wanting to blind the eyes. And it was back in the prophets' days too, as well it was with in the book of Acts with Paul, as it is with us today. Verse 6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, watch this, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth. Watch what they're trying to do. Listen to this and bring it into what we've explained last week, what the demonic influence does. Of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Demonic influence. Demonic mastering, demonic possession that the demons cannot own a believer because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. So remember last week, the word possess doesn't mean ownership, but a mastery over. Trying to take control over a dwelling place that is not theirs. That's why we can stand as believers and say, in Jesus' name, get out of here. Because they are trying to be in a place that is not theirs. If they went back, as Paul was talking to Habakkuk, that Paul quoted, the skeptics of the day would have said, I think Paul's out of his mind, because they're hearing Chaldeans, all right? Because there aren't any more Chaldeans. Yes, there really were a people who were Chaldeans. Because the Chaldeans, though, were utterly destroyed in 539 BC. Jeremiah 50 and 51 said there would be none left. So the skeptics of the day would say, oh, Chaldeans, well, they're... See, what he's talking about is a spiritual enemy, a spiritual influence, a demonic force, a satanic force that is there that is wanting to bring deception in your life. So the Chaldeans never again were referred to as a nation or an ethnicity because they were destroyed. Think about it. Paul is saying, watch out what was spoken by the prophets that can come on you. And there were no more literal Chaldeans. So the question then, what is Paul talking about? In the same way, the skeptics back then, the skeptics today would say, did you know Pastor Gary is talking about demons? He is out of his mind because there aren't any more demons. You'll see today many people will talk about that they were of Old Testament times, or they were when Jesus was there, and Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, and there's no more demons, all these different teachings, which if you just read the New Testament, you will find that Jesus always talks about it and trains people how to remove them out of their lifestyles. Yes, they're there. You need to watch out because they're trying to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. So let me show you again how Scripture shows us about demonic spirits and about them and what they do. So I'm going to have 3 points today as normal, sometimes two, sometimes four, like last week. But I want you to recognize, as I want you to key in on these things, so that you can defeat them before they bring bondage in your life, before you struggle in areas that it's hard to get through, that you begin to see what the enemy is trying to do in your life, even though your life maybe today might be on a high. I'm not talking about drugs, but on a high, and a spiritual high, that you are walking in some special events in your life that God is doing in and through you. You're hearing the voice of God, but still you are in a place in your life, no matter where you're at in your walk with God, is that you could fall to this deception. So you have to know your enemy. First point, they're thieves. They're thieves. Verse 6 again says they're trying to dwell in places that are not theirs. They're trying to rip you off. So please understand, Satan is a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible many times talks about the work of Satan, but again, as last week, that in most cases, it's not Satan himself, because Satan is not omnipresent. Omni means all. But our God is omnipresent or all-present. God is omniscient or omniscient, all science. He's the God of all knowledge. He knows all things. God is omnipotent or omnipotent, all power. God is all-powerful. And we need to see the difference, all right? So this is not a scare tactic I'm trying to bring you. I'm just trying to show you in life, you have to understand the principles in the spiritual realm. So Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one location at a time. By the way, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, that was the real dude. That was Satan himself. Jesus merited Satan's attention. People will say, well, Satan came at me. I don't think it was Satan, but I know Satan has an army of demonic forces, and they do his work. And yes, through them, Satan is attacking areas of your life. Jesus said it this way. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus then said, shouldn't this woman be loosed from this infirmity whom Satan has bound? Satan did have her bound, but Satan had her bound, watch this, by one of the demonic forces, a spirit. Dwelling places that are not theirs means that they are thieves. When you are living your life and you feel like you're being ripped off, that things are happening, you need to first, instead of going, well, I need to fix this, like a lot of us men, we're fixers. You need to back away, get in the Word of God, and begin to proclaim Scripture, and ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on here in the spirit realm? Because you could try to fix everything in the physical. Watch this. This is how you work in life. This is how you walk in the blessings of God, is that you do your battle spiritually first. And so you begin to rise up and understand this, is when something happens, you were thinking this was going to take place and it seemed like you got ripped off. Yeah, you may have, because Satan's a thief. And he hates you succeeding because he knows you are Jesus' daily delight. And God wants to bless you. God wants to overwhelm you with all that he's planned for you as you walk in obedience. But here is Paul warning us, watch out for the Chaldeans. When you are living your life, they're coming around trying to rip you off because they're thieves. And we need to see that. And I have seen that through 46 years of ministry, where the enemy has come in and he's ravaged some things that I was doing in ministry and traveling around the world, different stuff. But I recognized what it was, and immediately I took authority over it. And sometimes when I took authority over it, there was still a battle. Amen. There's still a battle, because not only that he's attacking me as a leader of something, he's also attacking everybody else I'm talking to. And he's trying to blind their eyes and deafen their ears of the principles of God's word. So we need to rise up and understand, not in fear, but the enemy's the thief. They're coming after the believer to keep them feeling defeated. If ever you feel defeated, that's that demonic influence. I didn't say you were in bondage of it, but ever you sit down and feel like nothing works, I can't ever do anything, that's a demonic influence, and you have spiritual authority to take care of it. Rise up and begin to join yourself with people who know the Word of God and are walking in the joy of the Lord, even though they're facing struggles too. And begin to join yourself with the church. That's why you come to church, because these are great people. They will lift you up just by being around them. Amen? So the believer won't minister to the unbeliever or lead people to Christ because he's defeated. But he's more than conqueror. That's what Scripture tells us. Again, I'm telling you, the Chaldeans represent demons. In the exhaustive dictionary of the Bible, the names given, the definition of the Chaldeans, is a root word means to lay waste or to destroy. The actual word means wanderers. Chaldean, wanderers. Now, so let's talk about that. So now watch what Jesus says about demons. In Matthew 12:43, he says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of the person, it wanders through, there it is, wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place, but it finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. It's not their house. They're thieves. They'll return back to the same place they were scooted out. Very important now, it does three things. Watch this. Jesus is talking and explaining, verse 44, he says, when it comes, a demonic spirit, watch out for this, it finds it empty, swept, and put in order. That's what happens when you become born again. When you become born again, you become the sin, there's no sin, empty, swept, and put in order. Verse 45, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. I'm trying to tell you this principle of spiritual authority that you have. So notice a demon can come back in. Now, some of you, your brain is going over. The enemy is saying, Hollywood. And now your brain is going over to this guy with a fiery pitchfork. And this lightning bolt comes out of the pitchfork and it burrows through someone's heart and they die. And because why? Because that's Satan. He's all powerful. No! I'm just going to say this. Jesus Christ neutered Satan. And you and I have to walk in a lifestyle of understanding of this spiritual revelation. But if we open the doors, we give them place to bring bondage. Now, how many times do people come to Christ, get saved, get their act cleaned up, swept and put in order, but they don't fill their house with the Word of God? See, when the enemy comes back, you take authority, but you take that place that he was trying to steal, and then you fill it with the Word of God, because that's who you are. You are a child of God. You're a beautiful daughter, handsome son of God. You are amazing to God and amazing to this world if you would understand who God and what God did for you. We have to recognize these things. So let's go on now. So we got this guy that received Christ or took authority. Everything is clean, but he doesn't fill his heart with the Word of God. This is why it is very important that you do not just attend Valley Community Church, but become discipled, become a member. We'll be doing that in a couple months. Get involved. Go through OSL. Pastor Dan announced that earlier. Why? So you fill your house with the Word of God. How many of you know someone that got saved and attended here for a while or attended somewhere else for a while and they went back into bondage, and if you notice, they became worse? The bondage they went back into was worse than they came out of. So what the Bible writes about Chaldea at that time, it was a small nation. Chaldea was about 40 miles wide, kind of the size of New Jersey, if you've ever been there. They were never conquered in their history until they were destroyed. But I'm going to show you how they were. And we're going to explain to you how they did their battles. God said, when my purpose is finished with them, I will destroy them. Think about Satan and the demonic spirits. God has a purpose for them, and he used the enemy to cause his children to call out to him. In other words, they came in, he knew they were there, they would come in and create havoc for his people, and they would cry out. Now, a lot of people in the world and in Christianity, or people who want to mock Christianity, will always say things like this. Well, how come God didn't take care of it? How come God didn't protect you? He did, but he gave you the authority to do it. See what I'm saying? He gave you the authority to do it. And as we're children and they're growing up in a home, the parents begin to give more authority to the child to do things, so they learn how to live their life. They learn how to feed themselves. They learn how to dress themselves, to clean themselves. And it's the same thing in Christianity. We need to learn spiritual warfare. So when Israel went into bondage, they would cry out to God and repent. And it's the same way. Many times when we don't think we need God, when we are in trouble, we call out to God. You ever been there? Because you know, you're going on in life, you know how to do it, you're in the Word, you're praying, you're doing that. All of a sudden something happens, you try to fix it, you can't fix it, you cry out to God. I mean, God could have just slapped them around and said, get out of here. But let me just tell you, Jesus did that once and for all. Victory. So the Chaldeans actually took over Babylon and Assyria. When you read about Nebuchadnezzar, remember that? Nebuchadnezzar, he was a Chaldean. He's the guy who set up the 90-foot golden image in the Bible. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That wasn't their Hebrew name. That was a Chaldean name given to them. When Nebuchadnezzar ruled, he tried to take two things at that time frame when he took Israel into bondage. And he tries to take from us. So in Daniel chapter 1, I'm going quick here, but just keep following the story. All right, I'm painting you a picture. It says this, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar defeated him with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his small g god. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his small g god. Not talking about our god, but about the Chaldean god. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles. Verse 4, young men in whom there was no blemish and good looking. Good looking guys. I probably would have been taken. Hey, you're not supposed to laugh that hard on that. Gifted in all wisdom, see? Possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sum up to you because of time. He took the young future leaders. Verse 4, again, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Who the Chaldeans represent? Watch out for them. Demonic influence. Demons. Satanic. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacy, bondage of the flesh, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. So here are the two things Satan wants to steal. And one of them you're going to say, how'd you get that out of the story? I will show you. The first, the tithe. And the second, the next generation. Anytime you see the enemy attacking the United States of America or our cities, he will go after the young people first. And they'll go after the church. Nebuchadnezzar stole, when he went into Jerusalem, the tithe and the next generation. He took the gold and silver from the temple that was dedicated to the Lord. He took the tithe. And second, he then took the future leaders. That's why on Sunday night, some of our best leaders in this house, in this church, minister to our youth and our kids. And I want you to recognize our young people and children have the best. And if you have children or grandchildren, you need to bring them on Sunday night. As they continue to grow spiritually and numerically, we're going to see the power of God move, because now we understand, watch out for the Chaldeans, and we're going to protect and we're going to fill their hearts with the Word of God. Amen? Now, because the world is trying to train them in their language, in their culture, and their literature. I want to train them in a God culture, as I'm training you. Please notice the enemy wants the tithe. This also is how the enemy comes against you. And I just, a lot of study in this, a lot of thought in this. Let me just show it you this way. Satan did this. It's what they put in their mind when he captured them, what they put in their body, the food, and what belongs to God, the tithe. All right, so let's go on. First John tells you three things. It's the lust of the flesh. Again, what they put in the body and what you do with your body. The lust of the eyes, what you put in your mind, trying to make yourself smart. And I'm not talking about smart as in, many of you I know are very educated and very smart. But we're talking about allowing and availing ourselves to things that are not of God. And then last but not least, the pride of life. You ask, how does this relate to the tithe? I'm going to answer pretty strong, okay? Because the Word of God is strong on this. The Bible says that anyone who doesn't tithe is arrogant. Because the definition of being arrogant is because you believe you can make it your way and not God's way. You're a little bit stronger. And you have to be arrogant to steal from God. Amen? And we need to understand that, because the people's lives, you know, there are people, tithe is enough today. They're arrogant. Well, I just don't tithe because I don't know if I can afford it. Arrogance. You must trust wholly. Be free. That's why I shared last week. I got free about money. And I ended with, I could, if God came to me, he hasn't yet, praise God, but he came to me at times and says, give this away, do this. I want you to set it in your budget so that you can give more. But he says, I want you to set it in your budget so you can give. I'm not talking about the tithe. I'm talking about being a giver. And then from there, he said, but I'm telling you an amount, but I want you to open your heart to, if I said, give it all. I'm open to that. He hasn't asked me to do that, but I'm open to that. Please understand, if you're struggling with a tithe, there's a demonic influence that is causing you to struggle. And you need to understand that, because he's saying to you, pastor's stupid because he doesn't know my finances. That's what he's saying to you right now. That is an open door for demonic influence. Remember, you're still going to heaven. I've heard people preach, well, if you don't tithe, you're not going to heaven. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But the reality is tithe is so important. And I would say today, if you struggle with that, and if you have the ability today, say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, and you do it today. So the first thing, they're thieves. I'll be quicker than the next two. The second one is they're vicious. Demons are vicious, and Satan never has a good day or a merciful moment. Habakkuk 1:7. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. They think they can steal from God. Verse 8. Their horses are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry come from afar. They fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. Bondage. If I had time, I would talk about leopards, vultures, eagles. But we're going to just touch on wolves in a moment. Wolves, again, this refers to the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Ezekiel 22, look on your screen. Her princess in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Zephaniah 3:3, her princess in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. So what that means, they feed at night. Now, I'm going to give you something in a spiritual battle. That's why I go to bed, when I go to bed early, I spend a moment in the Word of God and in prayer, and I pray in tongues. Demons attack mostly at night. You wake up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden you're sweating. You're overwhelmed about things. You can't sleep. They will try to get your thoughts. The best thing you can do if you awake at night is read the Bible and pray. Otherwise, you'll end up doing something or watching something or getting on the computer, filling your mind with junk called a demonic influence. Here is a New Testament scripture about wolves. Acts 20, Paul says this. For I know this, that after my departure, after he leaves, he was killed for his belief, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He's talking about the believer. He's talking about demonic force going to come in and try to ravage you. They can't if you understand who they are and you have authority over them. And I know some of this is deep stuff, but you got to understand that's why many people pray who are believers and going to heaven, God, where are you? How come you're not helping? Because what's happened is the enemies come in, put bondage in our lives, and in that bondage, we struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and it causes us to be depressed, causes us to be frustrated. All of a sudden, have you ever wondered this? Ask yourself this. Honey, I don't know why I just blew up. I got so angry. It's because of bondage. Bondage to anger, which produces bitterness. Because remember, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I can be angry at things that are wrong, but I don't act upon it because it's not a bondage in my life. What it is if I would blow up and do all those things, what happens is there's something in my life that the enemy has caused me to be angry and bitter and unforgiving and frustrated and all these things, and it creates this like, ugh, nervousness in my life. And I'm saying to you that the world is saying through this demonic influence, they're no good. They don't like you. They think you're ugly. And everything that they will do, remember, they are vicious. And they don't want you to rest. They want you to lay awake at night. And even sometimes believers will say, well, the Lord woke me up and kept me up all night. Wait a minute. When the Lord does that for me, I'm strengthened. Even if I slept for 3 hours, like last night. I feel so good. I could run. I could play 18 holes, 36 holes today. But I don't have time. I got to get back here at 6. But you know, the reality, hear me, church. Hear me, family. God so loves you. And he wants you to be free. And I got to go on. Time. That clock just keeps ticking. Are you getting anything here? All right. Paul says again, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among, not sparing the flock." Do you really believe he's talking about there are going to be wolves? A literal wolf is beautiful if you watch the documentaries about them. A wolf in the wild looks and studies its prey to find their weakness. And when you're isolated, it attacks you. Do you realize that wolves attack the sheep that are on the outside of the flock? Notice the illustration. They attack the weak or frail cattle on the outside of the herd. So please hear this. This congregation is a sheepfold. And you are a sheep. If I were you, if you are on the outside of this flock, you need to, as soon as the message is over, do this. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. And get in the middle. Because that's the protection. That's why he says don't forsake the assembling together of the believers. Because that's part of the protection. I saw some of you move closer to each other. That's good. Good. That's also part of the Bible. Honor your mother and father. Love your wife. As Christ loved the church. Honor your husband. Get close. All right, let's go on. I'm jumping down some of my notes because of time. And listening to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about the Chaldeans. They lived in the marshes for years until they took over Babylon. And they could hide well, and they were great archers. They would hide in the marsh, and when Israel or anyone was trudging through life and the walk was hard, that's when they would shoot and kill. So they're thieves and they're vicious. And last but not least, they're cunning. They're cunning. Remember, Scripture says they take in crafty counsel against you. Chaldeans are synonymous with astrologers, magicians, and sorcerers. Daniel 2:2. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Here's what they do. A magician deceives you or distracts you so he could deceive you. This is going on. This is going on. This is going on. This is going on. 5 weeks later, you haven't been to church. A sorcerer deceives you with spirits that tells you the future or the fake future. An astrologer tries to determine your future by natural events that you have no control over. Instead of God determining your future, he says the stars can. And church family, that's a crock. Don't read the horoscopes. As a matter of fact, if you had, I say right now in Jesus' name, I rebuke the enemy that influenced that. Amen. Amen. Has no hold on you. The Lord Jesus Christ determines your future through the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. So to sum it up, the 3 points I gave you is this. Demons are trying to distract you, deceive you, and they're trying to determine your future. My God is the one that determines my future. So what does Peter say? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's all stand, please. I want to do something before we leave. You can give the Lord an applause if you want. That's great. Because he is teaching us today. He is showing us things. And I'm just saying to you, watch out for the Chaldeans. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Make him Lord. So watching out for the Chaldeans, it's a demonic influence in this world. But what do you do with that? You run to the shepherd. You run to the shepherd. Who's our shepherd? Jesus Christ. I'm an under shepherd. I'm just like you, just called to pastor. You're called where you're called to. You have the same wisdom, power, anointing, and authority that I have. You can lead people to Christ as easy as it happens with me. Live that life. And when the enemy comes in and tries to steal, deceive, become vicious. Have you ever had someone that you were good friends with and all of a sudden they just became vicious? I'm going to tell you know where that came from? That viciousness that happened in them came because a demonic influence was there to try to destroy you. So don't look at them and hate them. You love them. As Jesus said, for they know not what they do. But you love them. And then you say to that hurt, in Jesus' name, I'm not receiving that anymore. I'm going to go, excuse me, and hang out with all the brothers and sisters. And you're going to have the greatest friends in the world. Amen. In Jesus' name, I proclaim an amazing anointing over this house, that as we walk out these doors, in Jesus' name, we walk in great victory. Lives will be transformed and changed. Schools will change. Cities will change. Homes will change. Marriages will change. Why? Because we are watching out and we know about the Chaldeans. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke it and we say, we are free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I love y'all. I gotta let you go. Have a great day. See you tonight.